Ma'mar radiallahu anhu, he said that a lady would lead the women in Salah in Ramadan, and she would stand with them in the middle of the row, or she would stand with them in the row. And this has also been reported authentically on Hassan and Sha'adi and Ibn, with the collection of Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf. So here we see from these narrations that the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhunna, and some of the tabi'un, that they saw that the women, if they were to lead other women in salah, that they would stand in the middle of the row, whether it was for the five compulsory salah or for the other salah. Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, he mentions that Imam al-Awza'i wa Sufyan al-Thawri wa Ahmad ibn Hanbal wa Ishaq ibn Rahuya or Rahuay, depending on how they pronounce it, wa Abu Thawr, they say that it is recommended that a lady leads the women in the salah and that she stands in the middle of them. It's recommended that a lady lead the salat amongst the women and that she stands in the middle of the row. And this is one of the positions of the ulama. And some of the ulama, they are against the women making salat in the jama'ah. As Ibn Aun, he says, I wrote to Nafi', who is the mawla of Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which makes him among the tabi'een. Ibn Aun said, I wrote to him and I questioned him, does a lady lead the salah, lead the other women in salah? And he says, I don't know any lady that would lead the women in salah. And this has been authentically reported to him. These are the two positions of the ulama. But we see from this narration of Nafi', who is one of the scholars of the tabi'een, and he is a part of the chain that Imam al-Bukhari says is the most authentic chain back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning Imam Malik to Nafi', this Nafi' to Abdullah ibn Umar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's definitely among the great scholars, but we see from his statement, I don't know that a lady would lead the women in the salat. He's speaking about what he knows. And we see from the other authentic narrations, which becomes a part of our knowledge, inshallah, that Aisha radiallahu anha and Salama radiallahu anha, both wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they led the women in the salat and they stood in the middle of the road. So whether it is recommended or just simply permissible, it's definitely not the service as the people who have come before us, our righteous predecessors, have established this for us. Summarizing this chapter up, that it is permissible for a lady to lead the salat of women in the jama'ah because of the general narrations that we have showing the virtues of the jama'ah, and that it's better to make salat in jama'ah as the reward for the salat in the jama'ah is greater than the salat of the person by themselves, as is in many hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says there is no prohibition that the women can make salat in jama'ah with one lady leading that salat. There's no prohibition for this. And then he also says we have the examples of the companions and no one opposed them. Salama and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, and that no one opposed them. And likewise, we have the narrations of some of the people who came after them from the people of knowledge who show that it is permissible for the women to make salat with a lady leading them in salat. As far as the women, and this is just repeating what we had just covered, as far as the women standing in the middle of the row, we saw those narrations. And Mustafa al-Adawi rahimahullah, he adds on top of that, and I don't know anything that would prevent a lady from standing in front of the other women when she led the salat. I don't know anything that would prevent the women, a lady from standing in front of the other women when she led the salat, just like the imam stands in front of the congregation when he leads the salat. But it seems to hold fast that that which the Salaf had practiced is better and more virtuous than that. Meaning that which Aisha radiallahu anha and Umm Salama and the people who said that the lady should stand in the middle of the row, that that would seem to be more virtuous and better as the first people who practiced Islam. This is the way that they practiced it, though we don't see anything against it. And this is something that we take into consideration when we're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I was just talking to a few brothers about this, that we try to be the people, inshallah, who follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah. That we worship Allah according to what is in the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, with the understanding and practical application of our righteous predecessors to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. But at times where we don't have anything explicit in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, but we have practices from our righteous predecessors, we're not making that compulsory on anyone. We're saying that it is best to do that which they did, as we have many texts from the Quran and the Sunnah that encourage us to follow those people who came before us. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. And the first foremost pioneers or predecessors from the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and those who followed them, bi ihsan, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with them. So here, and there are many texts that show the virtues of following the people that come before us. So at times, if there's no ayah or no hadith that's directly related to an issue, and we have a practice from the people who came before us, we would say that it is better and more virtuous to do that thing, and we're not making it compulsory on the people, nor are we saying that it is haram or forbidden to do the opposite of that, except that we recommend for ourselves and the people that they hold fast to the practices of our righteous predecessors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is the example, and we can take this for ourselves, for the men when we're lining up in the salah, that the next row or the new row, it begins from the middle. We have no hadith reported that the new row begins from the middle, and wherever you start the new row, it's okay. But we have narrations from our righteous predecessors that they used to begin the next row from the middle, and it's best for us to follow them. And that which we have no clear text from the Quran and the Sunnah, if they have some guidance in that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Should the women be allowed to recite aloud or not? Mustafa al-Adawi, he brings the statement of Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, who says that the women, they should recite aloud in the salat that they're supposed to recite aloud. And if there are men there, then they shouldn't recite aloud. Except if those men are from their mahram, then there's no problem with it. And this is good advice from Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, that if the women are by themselves, then they would raise their voice, or she would recite the Quran loudly in Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha. And if there were men around, then she would keep her voice down, unless those men were from her mahram, and then she would raise her voice, and there would be no problem with that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next chapter, the best roles, al-khayru sufuf al-nisa, the best roles for the women. And he brings the hadith of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير صفوف الرجال أولها وشرها آخرها وخير صفوف النساء آخرها وشرها أولها. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says the best roles for the men are the first roles, and the worst roles for the men are the last roles, and the best roles for the women are the last roles, and the worst roles for the women are the first roles. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam establishes that if the women if they want to be in the roles that are best for them, then they should try to hurry to get to the last roles as the men try to get to the first roles. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. However, Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he brings a nice point that we don't take into consideration unless we have the type of insight into the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that the scholars have, and that he says this is when the men and the women are together, and that is when the women's roles are behind the men, that then it's best for the women to get the last roles when they are in Salat where the men are, and that is so that they would be farther away from the men and that they wouldn't be seen by the men, and that these would be the best roles for the women. And however, if the women were in a part of the masjid that no men saw them, and it wasn't an issue of being too close to the men or not being too close to the men, then what would apply for them is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ collected by Imam al-Bukhari, لا يعلمون ما في الصف المقدم لاستهموا عليه. If they only knew the virtues of being in the first rows, they would have hurried up there. So here the Prophet ﷺ is showing, and some of the ulama, as he brings the statement of Imam Nawawi and Imam al-Sanani and Imam al-Shawkani, that they all show an understanding this hadith of the Prophet, these two hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that if the women are there with the men and they're lining up directly behind the men, then the farther away the women are from the men, then the better, and these are the best roles for the women. However, if the women are in a part of the masjid, as we have our masjid here, Rawdatullah, and the women for the majority of the time they may be downstairs and they may be separate from the men, then it would be better for them to get the first rows, and that they would be have more reward for being in the first rows, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged the people in general to catch the first rows. And then, according to the circumstances, as the ulama are explaining, when the men and the women are together, then the men will get the earliest roles and the women will get the roles that are farthest away from the men. This is from the understanding of the ulama of Islam, and it can benefit the women that are here, that if they're downstairs, that they can see that the first part of the masjid would be best for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Al-mar'atu wahdaha takunu safan. A lady by herself would make up a row. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumullah an Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu qala salaytu ana wa yateemun fi baytina khalfa an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ummi um salim khalfana. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he said, myself and an orphan, we made salat behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my mother Salim, she was behind us. Here Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he's showing that a lady can be behind the row by herself, and we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever makes the salat behind the row be by themselves, then they make the salat over again. And here the Shaykh Hafizahullah, he's showing that if it's a lady and she's behind the row by herself, then it's okay for a lady to be behind the rows by herself, as we have in this example of the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is what we have time for tonight, and next week inshallah ta'ala we're going to begin the class after Maghrib, and hopefully we'll have some more time to cover more issues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. The brother is asking, if a brother makes and the Muslims are lined up for the salah. And he makes the salah by himself, behind the row, in a row by himself. The Prophet ﷺ saw that happen during his time, and he told the man to make his salah over again. And that whoever makes salah behind the rows by himself, then he must make his salah over again. Other brothers asking, in the salat when the women are reciting the Quran, and the verdict goes that if men are around, that she shouldn't recite unless they are mahram men to her. Does this go if the women are reading the Quran in general, not inside salat, but outside of salat? Is it permissible for the women to recite the Quran aloud around the men, other than their mahram, or should it be just around the mahram men or the women? Kind of slips my mind right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Walhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.